Hello, Better on Draft fans. Just so you know, next week there will be no episode, so stay tuned in 2 weeks for our next interview and news segment. This news segment was brought to you by our sponsors, Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road. They've got everything you need to cater to your parties, including wine, beer, liquor, sodas, snacks, and cigars, everything that you need for a fun party. Don't forget to go to North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road. They have a food program as well as beer on tap for you to drink that they make right on site. And of course, our newest sponsor, PCI Brandcraft. Find them on Instagram and Facebook, PCI Brandcraft, to see everything that they do for swag purchases. Anything that you could throw a label on, that's what they specialize in. Go to our social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Better on Draft. Find out what we were drinking on the show by following us on Untapped Bod Podcast. Of course, listen to us live Friday nights at 7 p.m., betterondraft.tv. Stay safe, and we will see you soon. And we are live. This is the news segment, Better on Draft, April 30th. Don't worry, guys. I've got the mic on this time, so we don't have to restart.
All
Everyone
right.
can hear me. Wendy is here, rushing home from work. Sad we did not have you for the interview. Hope you got a chance to listen to it. Obviously, all your parts were the favorite parts, so I won't ask you what you thought, but I want to know, what are you drinking?
I, in honor of Cinco de Mayo coming up, and my friend Heather, who recently signed on to be the new cellarman over at Bee Nectar, I went into my cellar and found a Milton's Madness. I said no salt. It is a margarita-style mead, and it is fantastic.
All right. Sounds delicious. I don't think I've ever had that one before. But I missed the boat on a lot of good Bee Nectar stuff because I was a simple man at that time, just wanting my zombie killer and or kill all the gophers and that's it. Like I didn't want anything else. For us this news segment, Dan, what are you drinking?
Still indirectly or actually directly supporting the Russian government with a little Stolian soda.
God damn it, Rob. Speaking of Russian government, what are you drinking?
What?
What? I am still hitting the Russell's Reserve Black is Beautiful whatchamacallit, the private barrel selection whiskey, bourbon whiskey rather. And I just cracked open, which I will be talking about this brewery in a moment, is the Siren of Pastry Stouts from Five Shores.
And what city is that in?
What city? Yeah.
It's up north, motherfucker. That's what it is.
It's up north.
Well, I finished my Verner's and Canadian Club. I still got the glass of Hatazaki, but I also busted open because I saw it and I remembered how good it was. But I have Fox River rye whiskey, which is an amazing whiskey out of the A2DC. So I'm drinking that. Easily one of my favorite finds at a local store. That was one of the times where I went to the Wine Castle, I think it's called. Whatever the castle place is over by Wolverine State Brewing and Holmes Brewing. But I went in there and I'm like, you know what? I want a not a crazy expensive, easy to drink whiskey that I could just, you know, something that I would just crack open normally. And I'm usually a Woodford Reserve or a Tullamore Dew kind of guy, you know, easy, not cheap, not expensive. But this was $65 for the bottle and it was worth way more than what I paid for it. Easily one of my favorite whiskeys that I found. That's not a Japanese whiskey for sure. So I will be buying more and more for that from that distillery itself. This is the news segment. I am sober this week. Sorry for last week.
I didn't even notice. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I did not even notice. I noticed Wendy noticing when I was doing the video and audio editing. Because at one point, because when I get drunk, I get a little belchy. So I do like that internalized belch with like the exhale that I go like a. And I did it once, and I'm watching myself, and I just see Wendy bust out laughing, and I'm like, oh god, next time you guys gotta pull me back a little bit. But
yeah, we'll do that.
Hopefully, no brand new listeners listening to that as their first episode. But it'd be like the Roke episode with us just getting sloshier and sloshier. But as always, this segment
here is Robert with the beer news.
I feel like you just don't know what to do with yourself, Rob. So you
no, I don't. Everything. You play the music. I don't even hear the music. I'm just like, all right, 10 seconds, do something stupid.
When we interviewed Zane Lamprey a week ago, and he's thanking everyone while we're talking about him winning the Crushy or whatever.
Crushy, yep.
He's thanking all the imaginary people. Rob's just like, I don't know, I just got to flex somehow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I got
to
do.
If you're listening to the audio version of this, though, you can listen and watch the video version if you go to youtube.com/betteronDraft or facebook.com/betteronDraft. All the videos are there for you. We're re-editing and re-uploading a lot of our old content as we continue to move forward. So definitely check that out. Rob, what's in the news?
All right, I'm going to start local because last week, a Michigan local brewery, Five Shores, located in a city that is up north, that I'm not going to screw up their city name again, they released a new beer, which is a West Coast IPA called Saldana. And obviously, releasing beers is not normally a big deal, but for Five Shores, this is their second release that they have done in efforts to support Black businesses, and kind of going off of our previous conversation with Aaron Jose in our previous episode, I wanted to highlight this one first. Now, somewhat in the same vein as the Black is Beautiful initiative, brewery owner Matt Demarest, awesome dude, Siren Stout, Bar Baker, and the man behind Kuma Brews himself, Kuma Oforimensa, teamed up to make this beer, which basically sold out during the weekend of the release. I tried to get some this weekend. That was a bad idea. Baker, who came up with the initiative, was also part of the first release, which is what I'm drinking right now, the Siren of Pastry Stout, which was done with the 24th Cheesecakery, I believe, and throwing in sweet potato cheesecakes into a stout. And she had mentioned that one of the main drivers of creating this is due to the lack of the PPP or PPP or PPE loans that was reaching the Black-owned businesses. So Five Shores has kind of stepped up to start making these beers in an effort to assist in helping with these Black-owned businesses. And thinking back on the Black is Beautiful initiative, more movements are starting to kind of come into the fold. And obviously some of the movements that have started from there have continued on and will be having more beers that will be coming out later this year. I really didn't have much of a question here. It was just really wanting to mention the support that Five Shores is giving, not only to the businesses, but, you know, from him to Ellie, their assistant brewer, and the team working with Kuma and Barb on making these beers to help invest in these businesses. So that I just really kind of wanted to give a shout out to them and just throw that out there. I don't know if anybody else has a comment for that.
I believe when you invest in not just local communities, but local businesses, that money circulates the economy a lot more. That's one thing. And I don't have any statistics or anything in front of me. It is a fact. I'm not going to tell you how much a dollar circulates within a local community because I just don't know those numbers. But that is an important part. And when you are able to do something like that, you're putting money into the community, and that community can then, you know, bring back stuff, you know, people to you to then, you know, continue a circle of economic gain for the area, for the community, and for the group. So no, it's a great great effort by them. Not many people are doing it on a consistent basis that aren't just massive releases. You know, you had the wildfire beer release, and you have, you know, these mm-hmm. different types. You know, there's probably a hurricane or the frontline workers beer release. And then, you know, probably a hurricane, you know, there was a beer release for a hurricane damage. So we have these one-offs, but to consistently do it, which we've seen with the community, with like Cultivate here in Ypsilanti. Like, there is a lot of working within the community as opposed to just selling beer, like doing more. And that's, it's just nice to see. And it's a story we need in these times.
And I think that that's one thing that I really like about it is that there's, it's just like you said, with the wildfires and hurricanes, that there's those where it's just kind of a stop, a one-off and stop. And then it doesn't happen until, you know, the next hurricane or the next wildfire, because, you know, summer's coming. More than likely, California's going to have another freaking wildfire. You know, Colorado's had their wildfires, which actually there's a piece that I'm going to talk about with Colorado. But it's really nice to see that since the Black is Beautiful initiative, that breweries have not only done that beer, but has gone on to continue the effort in making other beers or just championing or helping to champion other efforts within the community to, you know, keep that initiative alive in some way, shape, or form. So I think that is always awesome. All right.
Helps that it's good beer too.
It does. Although, however, the next thing I'm going to talk about is championing an effort, but it's not a good beer, and it's not a good beer on purpose. Because while New Belgium is no longer considered craft beer by definition, they are certainly not walking away from their causes, having made a new beer called Torched Earth Ale. However, I think the full name is Fat Tire Torched Earth Ale. The label, which I need to look at again, but I believe the label is basically almost the same as it mimics the Fat Tire label. However, the bicycle is basically melting and it is just like turning into a mess. But the beer's purpose is to show what beer will be like if we do nothing to address climate change. And it uses ingredients seen as being affordable and available in a climate ravaged future, basically something like smoke tainted water, climate proof dandelions, and drought resistant grains. Colorado based brewery notes that extreme weather events and constant drought could cause entire losses of crops, putting ingredients like hops and malt at serious risk. And this campaign was created to inspire the 70% of Fortune 500 companies who do not have a real climate plan to make one now. And with the sale of this beer, all of their profits will be benefiting a group, a nonprofit group called Protect Our Winters, which is a group that advocates to protect the places and lifestyles they love from climate change. Now, looking at some of the comments from the articles about this, some people say that intentionally making a beer that tastes bad is not a smart business move. And, you know, for us being in the craft beer world, we've definitely have seen our share of things like craft beer that had been sitting on a shelf for, say, 5 years that has not been been purchased, you know, something that has been sitting on the axle of some vehicles. We'll just leave it at that. But it's very tricky as people not paying attention to what New Belgium's cause is are just going to drag New Belgium on Untappd and like. Whereas there are those that may be paying attention might either buy it simply to donate, or they'll pass knowing that it tastes awful, because I think based on their advertising, and it may actually even be on the can, that they even say that the beer tastes awful, but this is the reason why it tastes awful. Now, I guess from you guys, is there a better way as a brewery to advocate for climate change to your consumers, or is this pretty much the only way to get your point across?
Yeah, I don't know if this gets a point across. Who's actually going to drink this except for the people who buy it unintentionally? Like you were mentioning, they're just going to be pissed. Like, I'd be pissed if someone, like, oh, want a beer? Okay, I get that. And it's getting thrown back at whoever handed it to me.
I don't think that's true at all. I think you'll get a lot of people who want to try it just because they're telling you it's bad.
So they'll have one can, but what are you doing with the rest of them?
It doesn't matter. They want you to buy the 4-pack so that you could donate the money. That's the whole point. That's why we donate to all these other causes anyways.
I mean, that is kind of the point, is to make the donations, but it is the other point where it's the fact that this is a beer that intentionally tastes bad.
I mean, it'd be better to donate the money directly than to spend money on a 4-pack where the money still has to go back to things like the ingredients to go in. I don't know if trying to sell a bad tasting beer to raise less money overall is a good idea.
That's the thing that I'm wondering is there a better way for obviously with New Belgium, they're owned by whatever the I can't remember the name of the company that is the
Karen, I believe.
Well, I think it's Karen, but someone owns Karen. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, I know. But being as big as a brewery, I guess within the umbrella that they're in, or, you know, other breweries, like other smaller breweries that, you know, that are like your Bells, your Perrin, your Cigar City that are in your local areas that can do something like this. I mean, could they afford to make a beer that intentionally tastes bad for the purpose of bringing attention to climate change?
I believe that this is a good way because, one, the amount of press you're going to get from this is going to assist with offsetting costs of the ingredients themselves. With that in mind, I think people not only will just buy this beer, they'll probably buy other Fat Tire beer. So it's a good decision on New Belgium beer. So I believe it's a good decision by New Belgium. Yes, I believe that people will try a can just to try it, just to see. And to be honest, what if they make the worst rating on Untappd, like under Bud Light and Miller? They have another article that they'd be like, we made the worst beer on Untappd. You know, there are a lot of futuristic things that can happen. I think it'll push people who would not normally donate because they're getting something in return that isn't just a thank you card or a pin or a sticker or some shit. You know, I would like a sticker with this too if I'm going to buy $40. I mean, the artistry looks, you know, pretty cool because it kind of reminds you of like a Fallout type, like some. It almost reminds you of a beer that would get made in the game Fallout. So if it's on the can and you try it and you drink it, it's your fault for not reading the damn can. But who also is going to pay $5 for a can? and not understand what they're at least potentially getting into. So I don't know. I think there's going to be some downfall, but I think the good marketing, the free marketing, the promotion, and again, if you could turn this into literally the worst beer on Untappd and you could throw that sticker on the next one and you could sell the worst beer on Untappd, you could double down and sell this again. Easy.
I mean, yeah, probably.
I mean, that's the business side. I mean, it could be an ultimate failure, and I could be wrong, which usually is true. But again, here's your chance to do something memorable, and they're gonna take it and donate it.
If there's one thing that we've learned this year, it's the breweries that think outside the box a little bit that are thriving right now.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there are quite a few of those. It's just, I think it's very weird that, you know, thinking outside the box is making a beer that intentionally tastes bad. But again, it still goes back to the cause of why it and they have a purpose. It's not like, you know, someone is making a beer and they're putting it out there and all of a sudden it just turns into a shipwreck where, you know, it's not that great of a beer. And it was what was on purpose because that was what the beer was that they were making.
I've got an amazing idea. New Belgium, you can take this to the bank. You know how they do the jelly beans where half the box tastes like rancid trash and the other half tastes like normal jelly beans? You do like a line of flight of Fat Tire and Torched Earth Fat Tire. And you do like, you know, a 3 ounce slam of one or the other. And you might get, you know, dandelion beer, or you might get amazing amber. Like the ideas are endless now. I feel like I need to go call up New Belgium and be like, you know, I feel like you need a new head of marketing. I'm your guy. Sure, I don't have any degrees in marketing, and my style on Canva is MS Paint. But I got you.
I would like to say, too, that I believe that the term climate-proof dandelions is kind of redundant, because I'm pretty sure the ones in my yard are already climate-proof.
That's what lawnmowers are for.
Exactly.
We still got time. Let's get another, and unless you guys have more on this topic, let's get another news article in.
All right. So I got one. This was actually kind of more of an opinion thing that I saw, because I was kind of going through Facebook and I saw there was a post today from what I like to call the brewery that Die Hard 2 built, which is out in Alpena, Michigan, otherwise known as Austin Brothers Brewing. They are stating that due to the overwhelming support in the tap room, that they are discontinuing to-go and delivery food orders on the weekends. You know, while it's good to see that things appear to be going back to some normalcy, there's obviously going to be those that wish that the service was still available and continue to be available, because there is definitely a certain group of introverts that don't want to go anywhere, don't want to deal with anybody, but still want to have some of their food and their beer. We've obviously gone through a rather tired and trying time that, truthfully, we're still not even done yet with, but, you know, have found that level of solace where we've been able to get the things that we want without having to really go anywhere and have deliveries and get the food and the beer that we want. We've eventually going to be out of this at some point, but that also means that we're going to get to some point where a lot of the places that do delivery might just flat out stop. And, you know, if there's any that are shipping beers or things like that, obviously there's not a lot of shipping that happens in Michigan, but it does happen in other states, that some shipping may be gone. But, you know, there might actually be a point where, who knows, there might be some of the laws that have been changed because of COVID that might get repealed. So I'm curious to all three of you, and I'm going to start with Wendy on this one. Let's just basically say that COVID didn't happen. But even with that, you know, all of the things that have changed because of it, what's the one change, whether it's been from a specific business or a law, that you would want to keep permanently?
I love the fact that even if it's only once a month, I can get beer from the west side of the state. And right now it's only two or three breweries over there, but I don't have to make the drive all the way over there. I can place an order and they'll send it right to me. It's really inexpensive too. It's like $5 a delivery, which is amazing depending on how much you order.
Yeah.
I can get beer delivered from the west side of the state, but I can't get it from Detroit. So I would love to see more beer delivery available.
And you can get it from Eastern Market. Eastern
Market and Ferndale Project. I'm a mile and a half away from your delivery area. Please, at Garden City.
I got people. I'll talk to them.
But beer delivery is my big thing. I do want to say that I think it's too early for them to just completely stop doing the to-go orders. People are still... There is still a pandemic going on. We do still have to be careful. There are people who aren't comfortable going out just yet. And I think you're eliminating their business if you stop completely. Eventually, we're going to get to that point where they're just not going to be able to sustain that anymore, though.
Right. And you're fresh off of shot two right now, aren't you?
Yep. I'm about 8 hours in right now, so.
You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Dan, what are you thinking?
I got to agree on the delivery. And one thing I want to say to anyone who is thinking this is over is not paying attention to India right now. But we'll leave it at that because I know how it touches off politics. anyways, yeah, the delivery, especially out here, almost every brewery was delivering when this started up till the point that other bars got it shut down because they didn't like breweries who weren't able to deliver being able to do so all of a sudden. So I got to agree with that too. Being able to get beer delivered right to your house and not having to drive all over or anything like that has been wonderful. And it's something that should be able to continue regardless of what's going on.
Yeah, it would be nice. I think that the thing I kind of worry about is staff and paying for staff to do that. And I kind of worry if the breweries are going to have enough money to be able to pay somebody to do that or pay for a service to do that. Cause I, and if, for example, with Eastern Market Brewing Company out here, they were doing it themselves. And then now they've switched over to Beer Me, which spelled B I E R M I for Beer Michigan, obviously, that they have been using, they started using their service now. So I kind of wonder with the switch that it's kind of making it a little bit easier financially for them to go through a company rather than pay more employees from their own money.
Well, that's a good point. And, why can't you use a service like Drizzly to deliver from a brewery instead of just from liquor stores? It'd be great for something like that to expand, but it really does come down to state laws and what they allow.
I was going to say, you've been here. You've lived here before. You know what these laws are like.
Yeah.
considering they pretty much kicked Tavor out of the house, so to speak, as of, you know, a couple months ago, that until the laws change and Tavor can come back, I'm not even sure if we'll ever see Drizzly. I don't know. So we'll see. Ken, go ahead.
We saw in Wisconsin, I believe, one of the biggest issues, you know, it kind of ties on what Dan said, is that a brewery, it was a problem for the Wisconsin Taverns Owners League, whatever, because breweries would sell their own beer out of their own brew house, and that was against the Tavern Association. The Tavern Association, because they can undercut their own prices, because they can just sell for whatever price they have at the house. They're not going to a second party distributor and then to a third party like the bar. So they have cheaper costs because there's no middleman. But the Wisconsin Taverns League wanted brewers to literally sell the beer to a distributor to then sell it back to make the playing field fair. We have a lot of those issues within the state because if you start having delivery and let's take COVID out of the picture, because I think a lot of things, you know, everyone was just more looking to survive than worry about what's going on with their competition. Breweries could easily there is enough business for beer deliveries to where you could either make a beer delivery service in the state of Michigan tied into it like Drizzly, where you can get more than just, because I looked up the Beer Me website and there's a handful of breweries. It's not very much within the state itself. But I feel there's so much more that we can do and we can change within the laws of the state. And I hope that we can start working on that, you know, this and next year, on top of what I can't think of her name, but the Water Levitt representative that we had on the show, Water Liette. Sure, that's what I said. when we had her on the show and she was, you know, getting the distribution chain, she had that huge tie bar in the Michigan Senate of like 14 alcohol bills to address. And then you had the same representative over in Rochester Hills who we interviewed, who was talking about drinking districts. And that's one thing that I would love for it to expand in the state of Michigan is drinking districts. There is one thing that we truly learned this winter is that if Michiganders want their beer or want to go out to a restaurant, they will I'll still go out to a restaurant, even if they are outside in 10 degree weather. They don't care. You know, the our interview with Aaron Jose earlier today, which is Better on Draft episode 256. He talked about coming in here when it was cold. I remember going to a handful of breweries in the middle of January when we were outside patio only, and people were chilling by the fire. Every brewery I went to had a minimum of 25 to 30 people there. And when we're talking small breweries too. I'm not talking anything huge like a Bell's. I'm talking small local breweries where people are like, fuck it, let's go drink. And they went and drank. So yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, I want the drinking district law to improve, and I want it to stay, because I think it's supposed to end next year or the end of 2023. There's a timeline on that law that it would have to get renewed. But you gave it to the point where it's based on the city, so the city can designate it themselves, so they can work with the, like, there's no reason to not extend it. There's no reason to not make it last longer. But for me, I want to see an expansive use of delivery to get beer to people, so that they don't have to rely on distribution or rely on finding someone to distribute for them, or relying on someone to deliver for them. There's definitely an opening for a new business to come out. So if you're a road warrior looking to start your own business, I think delivering beer across state would easily get you what you want to do. And you could find plenty of businesses, plenty of breweries that, you know, you charge the delivery fee and they just hand you beer. They're making a sale that they didn't have to leave the tap room for. They didn't have to hire someone, and you're making money for your gas and getting all the way across state. So, I mean, that's just in my head. I think that's just, how do we get beer to the people and people to the beer?
Yeah. And it's just like you said, that's someone could definitely create an asset like that to go through all of these breweries to do things like that. I mean, even with Eastern Market and how they deliver to certain counties on certain days, a person could do something like that where it's just like, all right, order your beer from, you know, all of these different breweries in Grand Rapids. I'll make the pickup on Wednesday and come back and do the deliveries on Thursdays, and you know, make that $5 delivery fee. Who knows, that adds up. You might, you know, just add up to the cost of getting a truck to rent and do all that stuff. So,
and the big issue there is when you talk about a middleman, there's probably laws that you're breaking with you know, having that much beer in your car, or distributing, being a distributor without a distributor's license, even though it's already sold, you're just delivering it. You know, there's probably a bunch of bullshit that you got to get through, but I think this is where all of the Brewers Guild, all the alcohol guilds, like the Winemakers Guild, need to not only band together mentally, but band together monetarily, and get some of this shit on the books, because if it's not, you're going back to what it was in 2023, and it's gone. Like, you're not going to be able to fight that fight again. Like, you're going to need another pandemic, and fucking, for the love of God, I do not need another pandemic. I don't know about you guys. Dan, you were there for the one in, like, 1918, weren't you?
Yeah, and apparently,
Spanish flu.
Yeah, I was. You're right. People were acting the same way back then, too. It wasn't any fun.
Spanish flu was a motherfucker.
No, it was a liberal hoax. Exactly. Get it right.
The parade in New York that helped bring things back out for the second round.
That is 30 minutes of the news, so I'm going to cut it off. I want to give a shout out for I don't know if you guys are metrics nerds and numbers nerds, but I'm a huge numbers nerd. So if you're not, on Twitter, you should follow at Brewers Stats. That's Bart Watson of the Brewers Association. That's BrewersStats. So Brewers Stats. Follow him and you'll be able to see a lot of the information about what the COVID-19 pandemic did to breweries, how they reacted, what their production numbers are. I know we're going to be getting our production numbers for the country here probably within the next month to see how things did, and we'll probably go over that and compare 2019 to 2020 to see what happened. But this is a great place for you to kind of look at numbers, look at graphs, look at maps if you are so inclined. That's going to do it for us. Better on Draft Podcast, the news segment, April 30th. You're listening to this sometime after May 2nd or May 3rd. we will continue on with a King of the Hill. The King of the Hill is going to be beer trivia, which I realize I don't have next to me, so I got to grab it behind me. But I'm sure you guys are going to go get your get set up. So I'll give you a few minutes. But that's going to do it. Better on Draft. News 4:30. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace. We're back.
All right.